Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Yes, we are going to break it down, and I'm going to do that for you. I'm your guest, and thank you for having me on the program. All right, so here's some things I wanted to cover on the program. One is gold. All that glitters and gold. And I've talked about gold in the past, and Scott and I talk about it from time to time as well when we do the Fastest Five. But a couple of things have got my attention, and two of them. One, I did some recent financial talks, and I've had people ask me a lot of questions when I've done those talks about gold, and also huge full-page advertisement in my local paper, the Daytona Beach News Journal, and it's an advertisement, so this is not their responsibility, and they've indicated as such, but across the top of the page, full page, okay? Full page, across the top, default in Second Coming font size, that's the official font size, huge default. Banks close, people rush to ATM to withdraw as much as possible, and then you see it goes on down. Lisa's turning around to look at it. That's crazy, isn't it? And you got breaking news, European banks could confiscate citizens' money. And then gold is currently around $1,600 an ounce. Experts predict $10,000 an ounce. So obviously the point of this whole full-page ad, and you call the News Journal and ask them how much it costs for this, but I know it's expensive, but the point is that they want to sell you gold. The advertiser, who's the advertiser? United States Money Reserve, one of America's largest brokers of U.S. government gold and silver coins produced by the United States Mint. Now, my point of bringing this up today is that several things. Number one, gold is currently around $1,600 an ounce. Actually, no, that's not correct. If I go and look at my quick update for the market, it's under $1,600. So that tells me this is a bit of a dated ad, and they've popped it in and it kind of throw it in whenever. But the bigger concern I have is scare tactics. The intent of this thing is to scare you into buying gold. And to make you think that your money's not is going to go away, that if it happens in Europe, then of course the thought process is what? It could happen here, and you're supposed to go and get gold, cash in your money from the bank, and buy the gold, and of course implying that it's not going to go down, which of course gold has gone down. I've got a report from the Wall Street Journal. Gold had went up to $1,800 an ounce back in October of 2012. And of course, now it's been down between $1,550 and $1,600 an ounce. And I think it's absolutely irresponsible for somebody to put something in an advertisement, let alone a full-page ad, to say experts predict $10,000 an ounce. Okay, well, can I ask the obvious question, ladies and gentlemen? What experts? You mean the experts that also own part of this company? Self-proclaimed experts? Come on. You know, and I've seen it on TV like you have. If you watch some of the cable news channels, you know, you have the guy comes out and say, I own gold because blah, 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 and you should too. Well, and I don't care if you're a star, former star, paid advertiser, paid endorser, paid spokesperson, or even some of the people that you would think would have a good reputation, that they come out and say irresponsible things. You know, there's a real basic concept when you hear any of these pitches is you always have to follow the money. If somebody has something to say, like experts predict $10,000 an ounce for gold, they have an interest in the outcome. Those experts have undoubtedly have some connection to the company that and who makes them the expert. So I just find it very disappointing, but it also speaks to me that as you hear these pitches, you need to always evaluate the source of the recommendation. Now, let me be practical here, and let's look at this a couple ways about gold. Am I telling you you shouldn't own any gold? Absolutely not. Am I telling you it can't be part of a diversified investment portfolio? Absolutely not. Am I telling you can't even own gold because it helps you sleep at night? I'm fine with that. If you want to buy a little bit of gold, you want to have, you know, maybe up to 5% of your investment portfolio be gold. I'm okay with that. 3's better maybe. Okay, but if that helps you sleep at night, and if you want to order some gold coins, by all means, have at it. If that allows you to have peace of mind, I just don't want you betting the farm. I don't want people to take all of their IRA, as some of these advertisers will offer. Call today and we will help you roll over your IRA into a gold certificate IRA. Really? You're going to take your retirement savings and put it into gold? You should not. Okay? They say never say never. I'm saying never. Don't do that. You want to put a little bit in gold. You want to take delivery of some gold coins or gold bars, silver, palladium, iridium, rhodium, all these precious things. You want diamonds in your pocket, have at it. But don't make it a big percentage of what you've got. Let's take a quick break. I'll come back and I want to talk more about the practical implications. Don't miss this. It's good stuff. Stay tuned.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I'm talking about gold, and let me be practical here. You say, well, David, you know, gold's good because if inflation goes up, gold can go up. It can, doesn't mean it will. And it also may not be the best hedge against inflation. Gold is best seen and looked at and invested in as either one of two things, either in, as an investment, part of your portfolio, and I'm not against that, or as a crisis hedge. And when people get nervous, they go to gold. If you want to have a little gold, fine. But let's talk about the other reason that people sometimes look to gold, and because I want to clear this part up. Part of the pitchman on TV will make you think this is why you need to have gold. You need to have gold because we're going to stop using the dollar as a currency, or we're going to go to a barter system, and you're going to need to have gold to be able to buy stuff. You know what I say? I say baloney. Here's why. Let's say that all the doom and gloom actually did happen, and I don't think it's going to happen. Now, I'm an eternal optimist, so I just don't think that our world's going to fall apart. We're going to find a way to work through our challenges. They're significant. They're out there. I read the paper like you do. I know that we've got plenty of challenges, but I don't think the world's going to fall apart. But humor me, let's say it did. And the theory is that having gold or other precious metals will insulate you in some fashion versus somebody who has paper currency. Now, I'll agree with that in part by saying that if the dollar paper is not worth anything because there's no government, well, then the better question is what form of currency should you have or form of wealth should you have to protect you? I would argue that gold may not be the best solution. If you really think things are going to come undone and you've got gold and I've got my survivalist equipment. I've got my shotgun. I've got my ammunition. I've got my chickens. I've got them laying eggs so I have something to eat. Answer this question for me. How will you get the things that I have that you need that I might be willing to share with you? Your gold is not going to buy anything from me. Are you going to cut off a little piece with your pocket knife or give me a little sliver of gold? No, thank you. Now, do you have something else I might want? Do you have medical equipment? Do you have a survival thing that I need if we're really in a survival scenario where we don't have the currency and we don't have the structure? Ammunition, ironically, lead bullets will be worth more than gold. Isn't that an ironic thing? So my point to you today with talking to you about this is don't get caught up and swept up into this hype about gold. And it's ironic when gold starts to fall in value, the guys and gals that really pitch it and push it hard seem to get even more frantic and talk about it going to a new height. And it's actually come down since October of 2012. So if you want to have some, have some. But if you see, always consider the source. I've seen commentators on television talking about why gold, why you should buy it, how they always have. And they make irresponsible comments about, oh, you've got $10,000 in your checking account. It's only going to be worth $5,000 in a year. Really? I disagree. And anybody that says that, and you know who I'm talking about, you've heard it on the cable news channels, it's irresponsible. So just don't get sucked into it. If you want to have gold as a collector, all for that. If you want to have it as part of your portfolio, I'm all for that. Now, let me give you one quick word of caution. If you want to take possession of gold, that's fine for regular money. If you want to buy some of these gold coins, if you want to have some gold bullion, that's fine. Use regular money to do that. When I say regular money, money you've already paid tax on. If you want to do something with your IRA, I'm going to say don't do that. But if you want to do it, you have to be careful because you should not take delivery of gold using IRA funds, because guess what you've just done? You've just taken a distribution from your IRA. You've taken custody. And the key thing about an IRA, 401k qualified money, is that you can't take custody of that, because then you've got what's called constructive receipt under the tax code, and you would have tax. So if you take your IRA and say, send me the gold, then you're going to have a tax bill. And how are you going to pay the tax bill if you've used up all of your IRA to buy the gold? I hope you have other cash. Or maybe you can take your pocket knife out and cut a sliver and send it to the IRS. Quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I was thinking about the spin and the bias elements of those that pitch the gold and, you know, tell you how the world's going to end tomorrow and you better do it. And it's a constant drumbeat, you know? And it got me thinking about what goes on in general with how things are, financial products and services especially, how they are sold. And, you know, if financial people ever wanted to get in politics, financial services, there is more spend than there is in politics. So if the financial people decided to take over Washington, they could do so. They would outspend the politicians. Isn't that something? So you always have to have or should have a frame of reference. And when I say that, let's say you pick up a magazine and you say there's something on the cover about some article. Let's say it's about mutual funds, whether you should invest in mutual funds or not, or whether you should invest in real estate, or you should invest in an insurance product. Before you read that, you need to look at the advertisers. Open up the magazine, skip the stories, and go through and read and look at who the advertisers are. Then you can read the magazine. So if you pick up, for example, a magazine on primarily got advertisers that are mutual funds and maybe brokers, then you're probably not going to see a lot of positive columns or articles written about the products that compete with those advertisers. So if there are advertisers in that magazine that sell mutual funds and maybe sell mutual funds directly to you, the consumer, the investor, without a broker, then you're probably not going to see positive things written about working with a financial advisor. Or you're probably not going to see something written nice about why annuities would be good for you to look at. It's just the reality of the world we live in. You have to always follow the money. That is going to be the case. So always listen or look at what is the frame of reference. If you meet with a financial person and you decide you want to get help, then probably one of the most important questions you can ask them is, what are their capabilities? You can get into their credentials, their education, their experience, what things that they think might make sense for you after you have gleaned something very important. What are your capabilities? How narrow or how broad? If you go in and you meet with somebody because you've heard they have a good reputation, or somebody else said that they met with them and they're good and all they can do is X, well, guess what? If you work with them, what are you going to get? X. You're not going to get Y or Z. So you want somebody, again, this maybe I'm biased, but because the way I work, you want somebody that's got the whole alphabet, not just X. You want that latitude, or you need to rethink how you're getting advice. And what I mean by that is you're the advisor. In other words, if you're going to have a person who only does one thing provide you service, then recognize that. If you, let's say you want to work, with somebody who only does insurance products, or only, like for example, only does annuities, and you've got somebody else that only works with stocks, and you got somebody else that only works with bonds or mutual funds. Well, then guess what? You are the quarterback. You are the clearinghouse. You are your own advisor, and you're, each of them are fulfilling a function that you are assigning them, where you're going to divvy out or parcel out money to each of them to do something for you in their area of focus or expertise. I'll give 25% of my money to the annuity person, 25% to the bond person, 25% to the stock person, 25% to the person who can do mutual funds. Recognize that. Or you can find somebody that can do all of those things, and then they can actually take the role of advising you instead of your being the one to ferret that out. So just make sure you're clear on that relationship, because that's where people get in trouble and they are disappointed. I had a woman come in recently to meet with me, and she had met with two other financial people. And I knew one, I didn't know the other that well, but she told me about what both of them were recommending to her. And in both cases, these other financial people were recommending just one thing to her. Now, let me give you the real world. I talked to her, I listened to her needs, and by the time we finished meeting, I figured out she needed tax planning, she needed financial planning, she needed some debt management and consolidation and liquidation or elimination. She needed to look at generating income from something safe like a fixed annuity. She also needed to have some money that would be liquid. She needed to take care of that debt. She needed to have money that would be working to give her growth. And I knew for a fact that neither one of those other financial people could do that for her. My conversation with her was, I can do this. I can help you. But let me say this. If you don't get help from me, get help from somebody like me, because of her needs were not one-dimensional. They were not singular. They were multifaceted. They were complicated. And so they needed to be addressed by a complete solution. And there was no way that she would be able to do this on her own. And so she needed that kind of help. So just be on your guard. I know I'm being preachy, but it's because I really want to help people. And I hate to see when a financial person with too narrow of a capability is in a position to try to help somebody when they just don't have the latitude. So be aware of that. One more quick break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Hey, you haven't gotten one of these lately. Well, and I'm going to give you a whole 4 minutes of warning. This is something that has been on my radar screen and I've been watching, and I want to make you aware of, and I want to caution you. Okay, one of the financial products that we talk about on the program and that I have recommended to my clients and that is appropriate often for retirees is an annuity. There are different types, and there's some I like. If you've listened to the program, some I don't like, some that I think make sense for people, some I don't. You've got to be very careful with the companies you choose, all of that. You shouldn't put too much money in it. They have a specific purpose. Standard text messaging rates apply, right? Standard disclaimers apply. So here's what I want to talk to you about, though. One of the things that's been going on in the insurance industry that is, you know, kind of below the radar for most investors is that behind the scenes, it's been public from a financial advisor standpoint. We know about it, but it's not something that generally that the public knows about because it's just not something that people pay attention to, is there's been some consolidation, acquisitions being made in the insurance industry, specifically as it relates to annuities and insurance companies. There have been new entrants. There have been companies coming into that area of financial services and buying insurance companies. So of recent note is hedge fund companies like Guggenheim have purchased companies like Security Benefit, Equitrust, other companies have made similar acquisitions. So you say to me, David, well, why do we care? Well, the insurance industry is actually very much concerned. The regulators, the rating agencies are paying attention. And where you should be concerned, or where I want you to pay attention, is if you consider getting into an insurance product, I want you to know who the owners are of that insurance company if they're not a freestanding company. Either if they're publicly traded, that means they're owned by their shareholders, or if they're privately held. But you want to know who the owner is. Why do you care? Here's why you care. If you look at insurance companies, there's a very specialized role that they play. Like, for example, with the annuity, where if you put your money into an annuity, the reason you're doing that is for the benefits that they're offering, like protection of your principal or lifetime income. And you want to know that when you do that, that company is going to be around to provide those benefits, and that they're going to do so without cutting your benefits in the future. They're going to give you the benefit of your bargain. That's the legal concept of what you're doing when you give somebody money and what you expect in return. Well, one of the things to bear in mind is if a hedge fund or an investment firm, let's look at it that way, buys an insurance company, are they doing that to be in the insurance business for the long run? Are they going to make sure that they offer all those benefits long term that you expect? Or is it an investment that they are making, because that's what they are, an investment firm, and they want to derive a return? So will their ownership be short-lived? Will it be to extract a return by buying it and then selling it down the road? And if that's true, which I think is something that's very possible and to be on guard about, then think twice if you see ownership that isn't something that you think is going to be long-term. Now, this that I'm talking about, this responsibility, this ferreting this out, that's the role of the financial planner, the advisor you're working with, but be sure to ask them that question. Okay, we're out of time. Thanks for being with me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.